I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
Welcome to Consider This, the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. All public transportation services will now be allowed to operate at full capacity under the RMCO. This includes public and express buses, trains and LRTs, taxis and e-hailing services, as well as ferries and flights. However, some SOPs must be observed, so face masks are a must for both drivers and passengers. Drivers will need to sanitize their vehicles. Also, cashless transactions will be encouraged, and both drivers and passengers must input the details into the My Sejahtera app. So, back to full capacity, back to somewhat normal, I would say, Sharad.
Yeah, absolutely. And Melissa, you know, in fact, doing the story, it reminded me that I had to get onto the My Sejahtera app, and so I did that earlier today. Almost went, without a hitch. It took a bit of time to get that initial number to input in your registration, but it came after a couple of minutes.
Yes, there were some hiccups, some technical hiccups in the beginning, anecdotally by people saying that they were unable to sign up to this app. But so far, so good, Sharad?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'm on the Selangor Langkah app as well. I mean, these are just ways in which contact tracing can happen with greater ease in the event that, you know, somebody is discovered to be positive and was in a public place. So I think we've discussed in this show, Melissa, all the concerns around privacy and data. But putting that aside, these are clearly tools for us. The other thing, of course, Melissa, is I actually use public transport on a daily basis because I don't drive.
So what do you think about this full capacity then? That means that social distancing or safe distancing may not be able to be observed in, you know, trains, for example, or buses.
Well, I think there are trade-offs, Nick, you know, and one of them will be that you can impose a social distancing and reduce the capacity of the trains, especially at peak hours where the capacity is more than 100%, as it were. It's filled to the brim. I mean, if you've been in an LRT or the MRT at rush hour, you know what I mean. The question, of course, is then you double the time in terms of waiting, maybe triple the time of waiting. And the question is, quality of life of individuals will clearly suffer as a consequence. And I think for individuals for whom, you know, the other options, more costly options, are not there, this will become an added burden to them. So, yeah, what are the trade-offs? How do you keep yourself safe? And I think taking on personal responsibility for your health, I think, is essential in this game.
I completely agree. I'm thinking about what this means, right, to be for public transportation to be allowed to resume at full capacity. I understand that, you know, perhaps the capacity is not, you're not able to limit the capacity of public transportation and observe all the social distancing, the safe distancing. But I'm wondering what the trade-offs will be, particularly for flights. So we hear flights are now allowed to operate at full capacity. So that means that, you know, will that mean that airfares will not be increased because airlines will not have to compensate for the lack of passengers?
You know, there's a lot of chatter about the current state of airline prices and so on, and, you know, ticket prices and such. But I think, putting aside the issue of, you know, options that I think we can explore with our bosses, which is the question of staggered work time, so that you don't have to come in during rush hour. You can come in just after rush hour, or leave a little later, or leave a little earlier. Make it such that if we in fact reorganize the way in which we use public transport, perhaps there won't be such a crush at those, you know, in terms of traditional rush hour times. Surely there are creative ways to respond to the situation. I think. And I don't think it's just the government that needs to be involved in this conversation. Clearly, individuals as well.
Well, in other news, some Sarawak schools may not be able to resume all classes on the 24th of June, as thousands of teachers who returned to their hometowns in the peninsula of Malaysia have not been able to report back to their respective schools. Michael Manion, who is the Sarawak Education Minister, he said that this involves some 2,600 teachers in Sarawak, 400 of which are Form 5 and Upper 6 instructors. Now, these teachers were told to report back on the 9th of June to prepare for the reopening of schools, but apparently they're facing difficulty getting back to Sarawak due to the limited flights from the peninsula. Apart from the lack of flights, Michael Mannion also cited the higher fares, which is proving to be a hurdle for many.
Yeah, you know, I sometimes my heart goes out to people in government trying to work out all the different parts of the problem, right? So many things involved, and perhaps the question of teachers returning to Sarawak, teachers having to deal with cross-border issues. So going back to Sarawak is not simply about arriving in Sarawak, it's also about the possibility of quarantine there for a period and how that interrupts or disrupts their possible engagement with the school from the get-go. So there are all these things to be considered. I think there are some discrepancies, Melissa. Apparently, if you're a tourist coming into the state, you don't have to be quarantined, but if you're a teacher, you do. The question, of course, is why, and I think some of the rationale has already been explored in terms of you know, the intensity of contact with students and such.
So what we understand is that the Sarawak Disaster Management Committee says that teachers must be quarantined for 14 days on arrival. Those serving in schools in urban areas or in towns may home quarantine, but those in rural areas will be quarantined at designated hotels. And so Sarawak says that they cannot really start classes on June the 24th because some of these schools may not have enough teachers. I'm wondering whether this was a problem that could have been anticipated. And why wasn't it anticipated?
Yeah, these are big questions around, like I said, you know, the magnitude, Melissa, is of this, of the problems and
but
resolving
also,
all these logistical issues.
The question also is who foots the bill? If there are, you know, higher airfares, who is going to pay for that?
Yeah, it seems that unfair for teachers, you know, especially coming from the peninsula, to you know, take on that additional burden at this point in time. Hopefully, there's some sort of resolution that is, you know, a win-win for everybody.
All right. Speaking about teachers and the reopening of schools, let's find out what the challenges are in implementing the staggered return of students to the classroom. We're going to be speaking to two education experts in just a few minutes. So stay tuned to Consider This.